Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I have read to you Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Jesus was teaching that high standard of loving even your enemies. And this was in contrast with the law of Moses, which was an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Love your neighbors, but hate your enemies. But Jesus taught to love even enemies, and to bless those that curse you, and to do good to them that hate you, even pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now Jesus not only taught this principle of love, but he lived it, giving us an example of that which he taught. Picture him, if you will, as he is suspended between heaven and earth on the cross, and hear him pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. By believing and living according to this standard, we resemble the Father. God blesses in some ways unconditionally. He sends the sunshine on the good, but also on the evil. The evil are blessed thereby as much as the good. He sends the rain on the just and unjust without partiality. In this way, he renders good for evil. Some have thought it impossible to love an enemy, but God has never commanded nor expected the impossible. He would not have taught us to do this if it was impossible. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, and if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Even the publicans lived by a standard of doing good to those that did good unto them. The publicans, of course, were the tax collectors for the Roman government. And during the life of Jesus, the Jews were under Roman occupation, and Rome exacted taxes from them. And those who collected these taxes were hated and despised, especially the Jewish collectors, for they were considered traitors. Usually, this work was done by those of ill repute, who lacked self-respect, who were of questionable character. The very system of collection was one that lent itself to the encouragement of exploitation and unfairness and fraud. But Jesus said of the publicans, this lowest of the low in the eyes of most, For if you love them that love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Luke 6, 32 and 33. The Christian should have a love that distinguishes him from the sinner. He should be better than that which is expected of the bad or even of the average. Christ said the publicans salute their own brethren. The salutation was and is a token of courtesy and decency and respect. The Jews generally did not salute Samaritans or vice versa. They would salute only their own. Sometimes one finds even Christians not even willing to speak to one another. Can you imagine? They are living on a level lower than that of the publicans and sinners like that. Christianity is designed and intended to lift man above the level of sinners. A father said to his son, "My boy, speak to everybody, even those who are rude to you. For remember that you show courtesy to others not because they are worthy and not because they are gentlemen, but because you are. There is no honor or praise due one for rendering good to them which do good to you. Even sinners will do as much. But we should not do good in order that someone do good unto us in return. Our motive for doing good should be higher than that. We should do good not just to receive good right back." The questions in our text that Jesus asks are self-answering questions that prove the Christian is expected to live better and to do more good than others because they are Christians. Our religion is worth little if it doesn't make us better. A Christian is raised from the waters of baptism to walk in a newness of life. Once we were in the darkness of sin, but now we're walking in the light. "Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto God. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them," Ephesians 5:7-11. Again Jesus taught, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Matthew 5:14-16. Christians are expected, you see, to be different from the world. Romans 12:2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The difference stems from the fact that the Christian does not live according to the standards of the world. He lives according to the standards of Christ. Far more is expected of the Christian in the way of righteousness. It is a pity that we do not do more good than we do. It is shameful that we do not give more, attend worship services more, study and pray more, be helpful to others more. Some who teach error sometimes give more of their income to their cause and are more faithful in attendance to their services and are more attentive and zealous and active and interested in what they are doing than some of us who profess to follow Christ. My brethren, this is not as it should be. True New Testament Christians ought to do more than others. This is what Jesus is teaching when he asks, "What do ye more than others?" Christians are in a constant danger and temptation of being dragged down by accepting and following what we might call average standards. Most people are satisfied if they think they're average. That is, they're convinced they're doing as well as most others around them. But Jesus expects better than the average from his people. Let me illustrate with a teaching Jesus himself did. The old law said not to kill. This meant not to murder. Most are satisfied that all is well if they refrain from murdering somebody. But Jesus not only taught not to murder, but taught not even to hate, from which comes murder, and the doing of harm against others is forbidden. More than that, we are to love. John wrote, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." 1 John 3:15. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, John says he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? 1 John 4:20. The average is eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, somewhat like the attitude of the law of Moses. Of course, the rendering of justice and proper recompense was to be done by authorities, but not personal vengeance, even under the law of Moses. But some take the law into their own hands, don't they? hard though it might be to follow, Jesus taught that vengeance belongs to God. It is not up to us to even the score with those who sin against us and misuse us. Christ said, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whoso shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." Matthew 5:39. And just what is Jesus teaching here? Are we to invite our enemies to continue to do us harm? No, that's not the point. We are to refrain from retaliation. We will suffer loss before we take over God's prerogative of vengeance. As Christians, we are expected to do better and to do more than what might be generally expected from others. Another illustration. Thou shalt not steal is a law that most agree ought to be respected. Not all give honor to this teaching, however, because they steal. In our nation, with many, the only thing wrong about stealing is getting caught. They feel if you can get away with it, it's all right. But Jesus said we're not even to defraud one another. That is, we're not even to take advantage of one another, let alone steal from one another. And while others may commit fornication, the Christian is not even to look on a woman with lust in his heart. And while many might allow drunkenness and social drinking it deems acceptable to some, the Christian is to abstain from such things. Selfishness may be the norm in the lives of many people, but Paul taught that the way of Christianity is, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Philippians 2:4. The average religious man or woman believes that one church is just as good as another church, and one faith is just as good as another faith. They believe doctrine is not important. They think we can choose our own way, and whatever we choose, the blessings of God will be just as applicable as another choice. But friend, the inspired Apostle Paul taught there was one church, one faith, one gospel, and it's not to be perverted. The Christian knows it makes a difference what he believes and what he says and what he does. He knows that doctrine does matter, and that men's ways are not just as good as God's ways. We're expected to do more and be more than others. And these contrasts between the so-called average and the acceptable in the sight of men with the religion of Christ proves that Christians are to exceed that which others are content to do. Christ, not men, not the average, not the popular, not the socially acceptable, Christ is the standard for the Christian. 1 Peter 2:21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. Recorded in John 14:6. Friend, it is foolishness to compare ourselves with others, even with other members of the church. Paul said, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." 2 Corinthians 10:12. We may be inclined to point to the weaknesses of others in order to justify or to excuse our own weaknesses. This is foolish, because the one to whom we point is not the measure. The one to whom we point is not the standard anyway. We can always find shortcomings in others. There will always be those human frailties and sins in the lives of human beings, even in Christians. But we shall never find a weakness in the Son of God, who is the pattern we are to imitate. Those in the church might think they can point to those outside the church and by comparison give themselves a sense of contentment. Well, surely being in Christ is a blessing to be cherished. But even if we did compare most favorably with someone who is not in Christ, we are to excel. That's what Jesus is teaching. We are to do more than others. Yes, the questions Jesus raised ought to provoke each one to ask, what do I more than others? Am I really a better person? Is my life really a better life? Just who am I following anyway? By whom And with whom do I make a comparison? Is Christ really my standard? For let us learn, Christ expects us who are his disciples to do more than others. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.